All right, God, thank you notes, which is not a very popular thing to do much anymore, write a thank you note. But why should we give thanks to God? And you could come up with a lot of reasons, a lot of blessings and truth. But as we study this passage, I want you to see that Paul's prayer for the Colossians is a model for us. In Christ, we have so much, do we not? If I gave you blank paper and said, write all of your blessings from God, I hope you could write for hours. God is so good. And we ought to thank God more often. And we ought to live our lives in response to how good God is. Not only what God gives you today, or what you think God is going to give you in the future, but just think for a moment what God has already given you. I mean, if God even just stopped giving you anymore, you've got enough. You've got way more than you deserve. Can I hear an amen to that? Yes. So in this prayer to the Colossians, to God for the Colossians, Paul thanks God for what we have and also for what we're not going to get, which is interesting. Great truths, great principles, great realities of our salvation. And we began with verse 12 last week. We thank God for our inheritance. Anybody still here? All right, we thank God for our inheritance. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of light. Let that soak in a moment. That is a great truth from God. He has qualified you. Remember last week, if you were here, that means to be made sufficient. It means to be empowered, to authenticate someone, to make fit. What is it that qualifies you? I mean, think of you. Don't think of anybody else. Just think of you. What is it that qualifies you to be part of God's inheritance in the kingdom of God? And the only answer is because of Christ. You were in Christ, what Christ has done. Before you were a Christian, can you remember back that far? How qualified were you? Don't say a little bit, say not at all. No matter how good you were, how great you were, how nice you were, how good looking you were, how you tried to be good, you were not qualified. You had enough things, even as good as you were, to disqualify you. Totally disqualified. But because of Christ, you are now qualified. Good news. Or the inheritance. You know, think what we have, and we answered the question last week, what is our inheritance? We have eternal life, we rule with Christ, and we have God's promises, and we ask the question, when do you get this inheritance? Like children, when do I get it? And you've already got it, but you're going to get it. Peter says in 1 Peter, our inheritance, which is kept in heaven for us, which will never, never, never spoil our faith, kept in heaven for you. I don't know if you thought much about an inheritance over the week, but do you think you're going to get rich someday because that rich uncle's going to die? Probably not. You know, a few months ago, actually several months ago, when you get older, everything's the other day. Have you noticed that? I say the other day, and my wife will say, honey, that was 3 years ago. Well, it's the other day. The other day, my wife got a message from one of her cousins that her father, not my wife's father, who is deceased, and he's dead as well, was listed in the Los Angeles paper. You know how they put those listings in the paper of unclaimed monies? Well, Pam's cousin saw Pam's dad listed there and notified her. And we're thinking, wow, retirement. So she contacted the place. They contacted her back. They wanted proof that she was Willie Gravlin's daughter. The problem is Willie Gravlin is dead. And so we didn't have a death certificate because my wife's sister threw it away. Because she said, well, he's dead. We don't need it anymore. And so we had to go through all the process to get a death certificate to find out how many millions we were going to get. And then, lo and behold, we get notification that there is this great amount of money, $700. However, we've already spent $100 getting a birth certificate, and we still haven't got the money. It'll take a long time to get the money. And when she finally gets whatever's left of the money, she has to split it with her sisters. I said, they won't know. They're not. But listen, our inheritance in heaven is guaranteed. And $700, $7 million does not compare with what's held in heaven for you. It is guaranteed. And we have the guarantee of God. That's good enough, isn't it? We have the guarantee of God's Word. And as we read last week, Ephesians, He has given us His Holy Spirit as a pledge. And that's the word that was used for an engagement ring or a down payment. He has given us a pledge, a down payment of our inheritance. And what's the pledge? What's the down payment? What does it say in Ephesians? He has given us His... It's not Jesus. It's not God. So what's the other Sunday school answer? He has given us His Holy Spirit as a down payment. Doesn't that thrill you? You know, the Holy Spirit, think what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He protects us and He guides us. He convicts us. He's the down payment, evidence that God will come through on our inheritance. That is good news, is it not? But remember this, as great as the Holy Spirit is, that is just the down payment. What you will receive in heaven, nothing can compare. The Holy Spirit is wonderful, but down payment. Now, that is what we've got because of Christ, our inheritance. That's what we're going to get. But the other side of that is what you're not going to get. Look at verse 13. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. We have an inheritance, and we're not going to get what we deserve because we've been delivered. Deliverance. Or you might think of the word rescue. Literally, the word deliverance, when He says He has delivered us or rescued, as this translation says, He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Literally, that word means, in the Greek language, which Paul wrote, to draw to one's self. To draw to one's self. Think of it this way. You were here, lost in the dominion of darkness, but God pulled you out to Himself. He rescued you from where you were going. God pulled you out of Satan's kingdom. Doesn't that thrill you? God pulled you out of Satan's kingdom into His kingdom. And His kingdom is Him. God pulled you out of where you were going. He pulled you out of that into His marvelous kingdom. Ought to put a smile on your face. And by the way, the word here doesn't mean He gradually pulled you out. He progressively pulled you out. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that you were gradually, progressively delivered from Satan. It means He yanked you out. You were over here. You were drowning. You were dying. You were going to hell. He yanked you out of that. Think of a fireman that drives up to a burning house and you're in the burning house. The fireman doesn't say, well, this might take a week or two. Well, let's see if you get better and better at rescuing. No, the fireman yanks you out. That's what God did for you. He rescued you. He pulled you out. Imagine a car wreck and the car's on fire and the paramedics and the firemen drive up. They don't gradually get you out. They pull you out. That's what God did for you. He rescued you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if you are in Christ, you are a new creature. You are. Not that you're getting better at being what God wants you to be. Yes, you are. But God yanked you out and gave you His Holy Spirit. Boom. Now, obviously, we got to get better and better at living like it. But you are rescued, yanked out. So what do we need to pray for? We as Christians don't need to pray for deliverance. That's what he says in verse 13. It's already happened. I hear a lot of Christians say, oh, we need to pray that we are delivered from Satan. Hey, folks, you've already been delivered. You've been rescued. People say, well, I have a spirit of lust. I need to be delivered from that. You don't have a spirit of lust. You've got a problem lusting. That's the problem. You know, you have been delivered. Here's what we need to pray for. We need to pray because we have been yanked out from Satan's dominion. We need to pray that we act like we've been delivered. Ah, that's the difference. Christians say, oh no, we've got to fight against, you know, we're the demons, the devil. You know, if you are in Christ, you are yanked out of that. You don't have to worry about being possessed by a demon. I have the demon of jealousy. No, you're just jealous. Knock it off. I have the demon of dissension. No, you are dissentious. Stop it. I have the demon of overeating, gluttony. No, you just like food too much. You see the difference? You have been delivered. We need to act like it. You don't need anymore to pray for deliverance. You need to pray that you be delivered from temptation. You be delivered from the influence, which we still are influenced by the flesh and by Satan. But we need to act like we have been delivered. So repeat after me. I need. I thought someone would say, you need. I need it too. But say, I need to act like I've been delivered. Because you see, if you're in Christ, you have been delivered. He says you have been rescued. Turn over to Romans chapter 6, verse 2. Romans 6, 2. And in verse 1, he says, what shall we say? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. Verse 2. When did you die to sin? When you came to Christ. When you were yanked out, when you were rescued, you died to sin. So how can we live in it any longer? How can we keep on doing that? Verse 7 of chapter 6. He says, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. If you have been rescued from sin, what should you do with sin? Leave it alone. Verse 11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to Christ Jesus. Now, I know we still struggle with sin. And we will still sin until we get to heaven. I know that. But we need to more and more act like we've been delivered from it. Can you imagine, on your way home today, someone runs a red light and smashes the side of your car and you start smelling gas and there's flames and the paramedics, the fire trucks drive up and they yank you out of that burning car. What are you going to do? Well, I like that car, so I'm going to crawl back in it. Ridiculous. You go home and you go to bed tonight and you smell smoke and you wake up and your house is in flames. And the firemen come and they yank you out of that burning house and you say, oh, but I got to go back in there. There's some stuff I want. You say that would be ridiculous. Be thankful that you've been saved from that. But how many times have we been yanked out of sin and the dominion of Satan and we want to go back to it? You've been rescued from the dominion. Notice that phrase, from the dominion. That's an interesting word. It means jurisdiction. Think of a judge. Where can a judge judge? Only within his jurisdiction. Where can a sheriff? Only in his jurisdiction. If you commit a crime here in the United States and you run to Guatemala, then you're under the jurisdiction. Whose jurisdiction are you under now? God's. Not under the jurisdiction. Read it that way. He has rescued us from the jurisdiction of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. Jurisdiction. Satan doesn't rule over you anymore. God rules over you. And that goes right back to the truth. Repeat after me. I need to act like I'm living under God's jurisdiction. Because I've been rescued from that. I've been yanked out of that. Interesting way where this the same word that he uses there, jurisdiction, is used. Look at Luke 22, verse 53. At the trial, at the arrest of Jesus. When they come to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they come with, you may think a couple of soldiers. They come up with a bunch of soldiers to arrest Jesus. And Jesus says to them in verse 52, am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Now notice verse 53. Every day I was with you in the temple courts, but you did not lay a hand on me, but this is your hour. When darkness does what? When darkness rules or reigns. The word that he uses, that Jesus used there, when darkness reigns, is the exact same word that Paul uses here to tell us that we've been rescued from the dominion, the rule, the reigning of darkness. Jesus could have called thousands of angels. He could have called one angel and done away with those who tried to arrest him. I mean, how many angels would it take? Half an angel. One angel could have dealt with it all. But he says, darkness reigns. The dominion of darkness. Same word as what we've been rescued from. But think back. The dominion of darkness at the arrest and the trial and the murder of Jesus was very short-lived, wasn't it? Only a few hours. And Jesus shattered the dominion of darkness. Jesus crushed the authority of Satan. So we do not need to fear the dominion of darkness. We've been yanked out of that. Oh, I'm so afraid what Satan might do. Oh, Satan and his demons are going to get me. 1 John 4:4, the one that is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. Now, we do need to act like we've been delivered. We need to act like we've been yanked out of that dominion. We need to act like we belong to God's kingdom. We don't want to mess around with Satan. Leave him alone. But you've been rescued. Does that thrill you? Enough to say, hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord. Satan has been crushed. His dominion has been demolished. And you and I are delivered. We are rescued from that dark kingdom. How did that happen? Look again at verse 13 and 14. We not only have an inheritance, we not only have deliverance, but we also have transference. In other words, we've been transferred. If you've been yanked out of something, where are you now? You're somewhere else. A wise old philosopher said, no matter where you are, that's where you're at. That went, let me repeat that wisdom. No matter where you are, that's where you're at. That's like saying to someone, of all the people I know, you are one of them. If you've been yanked out of the dominion of Satan, are you still there? Notice he says, you've been rescued, yanked out from the dominion of darkness, and brought into, transferred into the kingdom of the Son he loves. If you are in Christ, you are now living under a new jurisdiction, a new dominion. You've been transferred, brought into. In the ancient world, that phrase brought into, transferred, that Paul uses here, spoke of displacement of a conquered people to another land. As you read in the Old Testament, the Jews, Babylon is destroyed, and the Babylonians Jerusalem is destroyed by the Babylonians, and the Babylonians did what with the people there? They took them to Babylon. You have been yanked out of the dominion of darkness, and God has taken you into His kingdom. You have been transferred. And because we are in Christ, we have been removed from Satan's dark dominion. That's thrilling. That's exciting. To the glorious kingdom of Christ, the Son He loves. Now, the kingdom of God. What does that mean? We pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Where is God's kingdom? Is it in us? Jesus said the kingdom is right before you. Is the kingdom of God heaven? Is the kingdom of God Valley Christian Church? That's sort of a trick question, isn't it? You see, the idea of the kingdom of God means where God rules. Where does God rule? Well, yes, in one sense, God rules everywhere. He created it. He rules. But does He have the rule over everyone's heart? Does He have the rule over your heart? You are part of the kingdom of God. God rules over us. We were in the kingdom of darkness, and who ruled? Let's start over. We were in the kingdom of darkness. Who ruled? Satan. You say, no, I was a good guy. I did my own thing. That answer is proof you lived under his rule. But you've been yanked out of that. And now, who rules over you? You're in his kingdom. You can't say, I'm in the kingdom of God. I'm part of God's kingdom. I'm inheriting the kingdom. If he doesn't rule over you, he rules. We are ruled by a king, and God is our king, and we, therefore, are his loyal subjects, are we not? You know, think of it this way. God gave his kingdom to the Son he loves. And God gives his kingdom to anyone who loves his Son. As part of God's kingdom, what an honor. When someone says to you, where's your citizenship? What's your answer? Philippians 3, our citizenship is in heaven. Yeah, I live in America. I'm glad to be an American. I'm proud to be an American. I have American citizenship, but I really have dual citizenship. My real citizenship is in heaven because I live under God's rule. That is a tremendous honor, isn't it? And what was the passport that allows you to now come into the kingdom of God? Christ. But it also, and don't forget this, it's an honor, but it's a tremendous responsibility. If you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, would you turn there with me? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul says, we encouraged you. We comforted you. We urged you to live lives, what? Worthy of God, who calls you into His kingdom and glory. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. All of this is evidence that God's judgment is right. And as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Is it an honor to be transferred into the kingdom of God? But does it carry responsibility? Hey, didn't we say earlier, I need to act, live like I've been rescued. I need to live my whole life, everything, just like as if I belong to the kingdom of God. Does that make you any different from the world? Because they're still over here. They haven't been yanked out. Now, before you are qualified, go back to verse 12, before you are fit for the inheritance and the deliverance and the kingdom of God, what is it you need? I'll let you think about that for a moment. What do you need? If you are going to transfer your citizenship to Canada, some things have to happen, right? You have to renounce your citizenship in one country and then take the next one. You may have to go through some hoops. What could you do, you, to get you out of this pit, the kingdom of darkness, and get over here in the kingdom of light? What could you do to qualify yourself to be now in the kingdom of God? Nothing. You were disqualified. You say, well, I'm going to jump out of this pit by myself. No. You needed someone to come and rescue you and pay the penalty, the ransom, to get you out of here. So look at the end of verse 14. The kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom, that's talking about a person. Who's the person? Jesus, the kingdom, the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. Before you could be fit for the inheritance, before you were yanked out, you needed some forgiveness, a lot of forgiveness. You needed redemption. Let's look at those two words quickly. Redemption. We talked about that before the Lord's Supper. Think of all the great truths of our salvation. Sacrifice. Offering. You want to get real fancy? Propitiation. Atoning sacrifice. Ransom. Justification. Adoption. Reconciliation. Great truths, aren't they? Add to that list redemption. Those are the riches of our salvation. The word redemption literally means to deliver by payment of a ransom. It's used to speak of freeing slaves from bondage, to pay the price, to buy their freedom. Obviously, we can't purchase our own freedom. It took the blood of Christ. You might think of our word emancipation. We've been delivered, free. The same word is used in the Old Testament, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, of the people of Israel being delivered from slavery in Egypt. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, Paul puts it this way. Let this excite you a little bit. He says, in Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Romans 3:24 says, and we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. redemption. Who paid the price to yank you out? Christ. You know, I'm pretty old, and I remember back in the day, old guys always say that, back in the day. When we used to go to the grocery store as a kid, or even gas stations, and you made a purchase, and they gave you these little stamps. Green stamp, S&H green stamps. You may know what I'm talking about. Or some parts of the country had gold bond stamps. And you would take those stamps home, and my mom had a drawer in the kitchen with the books, and we would lick them and stick them in there, lick them and stick them in there, and we'd finally get tons of books of stamps. And then we'd go down to this store, we'd look through this little catalog and pick out, for all these stamps, maybe you could get a bathroom rug. Or scales. Oh. And we would kind of argue as kids, can we get this? Can we get this? And you go down to this place, and at the sign over the store said, S&H, what? Redemption Center. You traded in these stamps to get this bathroom rug. We don't use the word redeemed much. Redemption. It's a good word to add to your vocabulary. God redeemed you. He transferred you from the dominion of darkness. He yanked you out of that into His kingdom. Therefore, you receive the inheritance. He delivered you from that. And how did He do it? Through redemption. He paid the price. And along with that comes that last word there, forgiveness of sins. Maybe that doesn't mean much to you because you're not dealing with reality. But think of your sin. What were the sins that put you over here in the dominion of darkness? Don't blame it on anybody else, your sins. Think back. How far do you need to go to think of a sin you've committed? Some of you are sitting there thinking of some you're going to do this afternoon or next week. I'm being facetious. Come on. What does it mean that we've been redeemed and the forgiveness of our sin? Oh my goodness. What a great truth that God has done for us. Forgiveness of our sins. The word, the meaning behind that word means to pardon. The remission of a penalty. If you were still in your sin out of Christ, what's the penalty? It's been removed. The penalty's taken away because of Christ. The Greek word for forgiveness is a word that's made up of two words. And one of them is from, and the other one is to send. When God forgives, He removes your sin, He sends them away. So you come to God, now that you're in Christ, you've confessed your sin, and God has forgiven your sin. And you say, God, you know that sin that I committed back in high school? What's God going to say? Can't find it anywhere. No record here. What are you talking about? It's removed from the record. It's gone. Send it away. How about, you know, that sin, God, yesterday? What are you talking about? We dealt with that. Penalty's been paid. Let me look in the book. Oh, Bill Van Orman, all his sins. The light book. Nothing in there. Because of Christ. He sent him away. Never to be found again. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, He has removed our sin as far as the east is from the west. And Micah 7:19 says, God has thrown our sins into the depths of the sea. Never to be found. Isn't that a great picture? Christ's death on our behalf. Look again at verse 12. For He... giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of light, For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sin. Think of what Christ's death accomplished when you put your faith in Christ. It paid the price to redeem us. And on that basis, God has removed, forgiven your sin. All of them. And he has granted you an inheritance in his kingdom. He has delivered you from Satan's jurisdiction into his kingdom. And he has made us subjects of the kingdom of God. Aren't those amazing truths? Don't those cause us to continually give thanks to God, our great God? And doesn't it remind us that we are now part of God's rescue team to go and tell others? Let's pray. Amazing truth from your scripture, Father, that ought to excite us and thrill us. And as Paul breaks out in verse 12, we ought to be continually giving you thanks in joy for what you have accomplished, what you have done. Thank you for yanking us out of the dominion of darkness, rescuing us from the burning flames into your marvelous kingdom. And may we remember through this week what we have said, that we need to act, to live like we've been rescued. For the glory of Christ, we pray together. Amen.